We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with MATC, Manhattan Area Technical College, President Jim Jeanette, and Robert is standing by with a phone call. Good morning. Oh, well, I've had that happen before, Stephen. That's the phone's crackling there. Robert, we got you there? Robert, call us back here. We'll try to get you on in just a few minutes. Evidently something's not right with the phone pot there. So, all right, yeah, we'll get Robert back on the line here at some point. We're talking again with Jim Jeanette here at MATC. Let's talk a little bit about industry recognized credentials. I don't know much about this, so I'll let you have the floor.
So this is something we're pretty excited about among the community colleges with tech programs and the tech colleges. So for instance, we have a student that goes through our welding program and they can earn a certificate from us or even an associate of applied science degree. But starting this year, more importantly, they can earn credentials from Lincoln Electric, recognized by Lincoln Electric, which is one of the biggest welding companies in the world. The new program we're going to start this year in industrial engineering technology, you'll be able to earn a certificate or a degree from us, but you can also earn credentials from an international company called Festo. And all of the tech colleges are members of a group called NC3, the National Coalition of Certification Centers. So more and more of our students are going to be able to earn these industry-recognized credentials. And for an employer, those things mean more than the college credit, because those credentials mean you know how to do this skill. So for instance, in our automotive program, students can try to earn up to 8 ASE credentials certified by the automotive industry. So when they go to work for Burnett, for Briggs, for any of the other people around here, they show that to the employer, those credentials, and that person knows, okay, you know how to do a transmission. You know how to do brakes. I don't have to show you. You validated that. And this is a move. I'm on several statewide workforce committees, and these credentials are getting pushed more and more. How do we make sure people get those credentials? Because that's what matters to drive the economy, if you will. That way you know the skill is there. So we're excited to be part of NC3. We'll be adding more and more credential opportunities for our students. The other key part of that is we have our own approved regional testing center on campus. And we're, to our knowledge, we are the only college in the United States of America, college or university, that has 5 accreditation approvals for our testing center. We can test for the FBI. We can test for the FAA. You can do EMT training for up through us and take the license, the state license for the EMT through our testing center. And we've seen people come from as far away as Omaha, as far away as Great Bend, Wichita, come here to do their testing. We do a lot of code work for the city of Manhattan with the contractors, with the testing center. So we're able to provide a lot of one-stop shop, if you will, to have people qualify for credentials, licenses, that all validate those skills when they go into the world of work.
Awesome. That's pretty cool stuff. We've got Robert back on the line here. I think Robert's got a comment for us. So go ahead, Robert. Oh, no. We must be having issues with our phone. I apologize, Robert. I know he always has nice comments here for Manhattan Tech. I don't know. It's something with our phone lines. This happens from time to time. So
probably because of the rain.
Maybe. Who knows? Well, sorry, Robert, and he's a loyal listener, and I'm sure we'll get you on again another time here. But you know, just knowing the advantages here that MATC has for our young and not just the young kids right. In high school. I mean, you have adult education out there as well.
Right. We had, in fact, about 3 weeks ago, we had a gentleman come out. I'm not gonna say how old he was, but he's my age, which means 60s, 50s or 60s. And he had seen an ad on TV that there's a lot of ads being run by the state regents about get your degree, get that GED. And he walked in the front door and he said, it's time for me to get that. How do I get that? And we got him right over to the Adult Learning Center folks. We've had, in 3 years, we've had about 80, 85 graduates earn that GED. And at the same time, many of them can do like a welding certificate with us or the CNA. And so, it's giving so many people opportunities to upskill their education, their ability to get a good job, change their lives. That's so cool.
Absolutely. Well, Let's talk a little bit about skills-based economic development and what that entails.
So K-State, the City of Manhattan, and the Chamber for years have had what they call KBED, Knowledge-Based Economic Development. And again, that helps the commercialization that K-State does, which is so vital, stuff with NBAF, the Animal Health Corridor, and all that helps drive the regional economy and the local economy. The flip side of that coin is where we come in with skills-based economic development. How do we provide that workforce for those businesses, whether they're existing businesses who need to expand or new businesses that may want to come into the area? And so, again, that's how we work with the Chamber, how we work with Jack Alston, with Pott County Economic Development, and driving the programs that we do. So it's feeding how they're going after to keep current businesses, expand those, and grow new ones. And so a lot of people should be thankful between K-State and us, we're actually sitting in that opportunity where we can do both knowledge-based, skills-based economic development. You mentioned the census a little bit ago. Our area of the state, our primary service area of Gary, Riley, and Pott County are one of the few areas in the state that is growing. And so again, we're sitting on a potential great opportunity here. And how do we keep and train these people that are living here to stay here and work? And so I really want to thank Kent Glasscock at K-State, a lot of the K-State folks, the Chamber, Jack. It's really a good partnership and synergy how we try to help each other out and align what we're doing to feed the local workforce.
Yeah, and you know, it is really kind of fascinating. I think anytime you see statistics come out like that over a 10-year period, it's kind of fascinating because you can see the opportunities there. And you want to just kind of continue some of that, and the only way to do that is to have the jobs here to attract people.
Right. And again, then the work with the high schools, all the school districts around here have been so great to work with. And the students and parents see, I think they've seen it before, a lot of higher ed seen it. I can do this, I can get this job, I can get into the job market, make good money, and then have my employer help pay for me to go on. And so students and parents are getting pretty savvy about how to manage the cost of higher education and do it in a way that makes sense, does not drive them deep into debt, and feeds that economy and workforce. And that's been a big sea change over probably the last 3 to 4 years, a big paradigm shift.
Yeah. Oh, fascinating stuff here. Again, with Jim Jeanette, MATC president here, joining us on In Focus. You know, we're getting ready to start the school. When do classes begin for the fall?
We start a week from Monday. Our faculty came back yesterday. We have in service actually the rest of today. So a couple highlights. We had a visit for our accreditation review in May, and we passed it. I'm very proud of our folks, our board of directors, community people that were involved. So we're good for another 10 years with accreditation. That matters because that's how we get federal financial aid to help our students. Enrollment looks good. We're not going to know about high school enrollment for a couple more weeks until they get going and we start registering those students. But here on campus, the programs are almost all full. Of course, the concern is COVID, as it is everywhere. In many respects, we've come through the pandemic, I think, stronger than ever. We're very strong in encouraging people, do what you need to do to feel safe. If you want to wear a mask, fine. We have sanitizer wipes everywhere. We encourage the social distancing. But because of the nature of our programs and the hands-on labs, it's hard for us to go full bore with all of the mandates at times. But again, we came through this earlier in pretty good shape. So we're going to start with, again, encouraging people, do what you need to do to feel safe, and move from there. We've been very fortunate with donations of both money and in-kind things from many businesses and industries in the area, both here and in Wamego. We've put together the new lab with Industrial Engineering Tech. It's a lab that can teach people everything from the basics of fluid power, hydraulics, pneumatics, robotics, electricity. It's an amazing lab. We got that with a grant through the State Department of Commerce. The tech colleges are working together to look at some ways we can ramp up our game with advanced manufacturing, transportation, logistics, warehousing, and IT. So it's been very fast-paced, dynamic past several months. We were also, the tech colleges, as you know, none of us have taxing authority. We don't get property taxes or anything. So the legislature helped the seven tech colleges out with some extra capital outlay funds at the end of the budget year, which is huge for us to help buy the equipment we need. So we're very cautiously optimistic about what's going to happen over the next several weeks and months with what we can do.
All right. Well, Stephen's, I think he's got the phone line figured out this time. We're crossing our fingers. Back to the phone lines real quick. We'll see if we can squeeze in the call. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
What a wonderful opportunity for young people to get the training, everybody to get the training. You know, I did the four-year tool and die here and took off for Fort Lauderdale. The first people that interviewed me put me in charge of a tool and die out of Akron, Ohio, and fly up there on 1 week and do the other week in Akron, in Fort Lauderdale. And then I got to do a four-year electrical apprenticeship. I did the Alaska pipeline in Alaska. I did the nuclear industry all across the country and building the condos down in Miami. So now with your nurses, you know, something you haven't talked about, they're offering a $10,000 sign-on, and road nurses in this desperate situation we're in is $140 an hour. I didn't make that kind of money, but I was a road worker. Also, the opportunities that you're providing, the keys to their mind and their abilities that they can provide for the people across America are great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Healthcare workers, highly in demand. Our medical lab tech program, we've been hitting max levels of enrollment with that. CNA and EMT strong, of course, nursing. Almost every program we offer leads to an essential occupation, and it either sustains our communities and our economies or it grows it. And that is such a cool thing. And I've had more fun over the last several years being the president here, working with the communities around here, the people. Our faculty and staff are fantastic. So I just can't thank folks enough for this opportunity, and I hope they appreciate what we're trying to do.
All right. Well, Jim, we appreciate you being on here this morning, and thanks for moving around for the governor this week.
Hey, anytime for a governor.
All right.
They got more pull than I have.
We appreciate it, and that's going to wrap up our show here today. Coming up on Monday, we'll hear from the Riley County Historical Museum. A lot of Parker's going to join us. We're going to talk about the history of some of the names of Manhattan Ogden Elementary Schools. That's coming up Monday morning at 9:06.